is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
5 minutes after one, we are Nation Radio. You can email us at nationradio@team1260.com. We're on Twitter at It's Nation Radio. And also, I'm on Twitter as well, LowTide_. And you go there and you can find that I retweeted Connor's Movember item. And you can go on to Connor's Twitter and get him into the top 25,000 for Movember. That's our goal. By the way, the Morning Show guys are doing a great job on the Movember thing, too. Have you seen the brackets and everything? I'm thinking either George Peros, and my old-timey one is Charlie Huddy. People don't remember. Charlie Huddy had a huge mustache. He did. He was a great player, too. And so looking forward to that. They'll, of course, keep you updated on that starting Monday morning, but check that out. It's also online. If you want to see the brackets, go to Team 1260's website, and it's there as well. Okay, some news for you if you're just tuning in to the radio and haven't heard this morning. Corey Potter, high ankle sprain, out for a month. Andy Sutton, 7 to 10 days. And Nikola Habibulin will start in goal. Sam Gagné back in the lineup tonight. The lineup goes like this. There has been a shuffle in the pairings and lines. Nugent Hopkins centering Ryan Smith and Jordan Eberle. That's the first line. Then it's Gagné with Pajarvi and Hemski, a trio who have to get it going. I think Gagné has one even strength point so far this year. Pajarvi about the same. And Hemski has been off the last 4 or 5 days. Not quite himself the last 4 or 5 games because, he's coming off injury again. Sean Horkoff between Taylor Hall and Ryan Jones. That's an interesting setup. And Eric Bélanger between Anton Lander and Ben Eager. The pairings are Smeed Gilbert, Peckham Petrie, Chorney, and Tubert. And as I mentioned, Nikolai Habibulin starting in goal tonight. So that's the latest. I always want to frame it and then say, okay, just a cautionary note here because, you know, Craig McTavish used to be the coach of the Edmonton Oilers, as you know, and they'd release the lines, and then within 3 minutes of the first period, Toby Peterson would be on the power play. So I'm just saying that although those are the lines, there is an opportunity for change always, and that could happen fairly easily. Last week, at this time, when we were doing Nation Radio, the Oilers were still in first place in the Northwest, despite having lost 2 games in a row. They were a point up on Minnesota, 3 points clear of Colorado and Vancouver, and 7 up on Calgary. And today, totally different. Oilers are now behind Minnesota, 5 points behind the Wild. Oilers are 1 ahead of Vancouver and Colorado, and they're both coming. And the 7-point lead over Calgary down to 3. And after the Flames' victory last night, looks like they've got some things going too. With these injuries, especially to the blue line, the Oilers are already on a losing streak. They've lost 4 in a row, and you know, their away record is 3-5-1, and after tonight's game, they're on the road for 4 more. This is not a good place for the Edmonton Oilers. Their annual losing streak is set up beautifully, and hopefully they can turn it around, but it's going to be a great effort tonight with that defense. It's not anything against the players who have been called up, Tubert and Chorney, but that's going to be a big... The Chicago Blackhawks are going to be loaded for bear. They're probably angry after losing last night. Coach Quenneville's probably has not been in a good mood the last 16 hours or so, and the Oilers are a team that has lost a lot of confidence and maybe isn't playing that well. So you know what? It's set. Obviously, the Oilers are the underdog, and sometimes the Oilers end up playing very well in those situations. It was a busy week. After 150 days, the Ryan Smith-Colin Fraser deal is finally final. Oilers trade Fraser and a 7th-round pick, plus some medical bills that they'll pick up, and that's the deal. One of the really bizarre trades in Oiler history, and I think it's going to end up being one of the best ones. Ryan Smith is playing unbelievably well. We're going to do the grading out of the Oiler players so far in the first quarter here in about 5 minutes, and I'm going to tell you what I think of Ryan Smith. Linus Omark out for 6 weeks with a broken ankle, and it might be a costly injury for him. As you know, he's RFA at the end of the year, and a player who has implied that he would not return to North America to play in the AHL. So it's either the Oilers or another NHL team, or he's probably back in the KHL or a Swedish Elite League next year. That could happen. And the timeline, the window of opportunity for Omark to be an Oiler is obviously squeezed because of this 6-week injury. So that could be potentially devastating for Omark as an Oiler and for fans of Linus Omark. I think he's a heck of a hockey player. I just don't think it will be in Edmonton, or it looks like it might not be in Edmonton for him. Oscar Klefbom has a concussion. He was playing in an international friendly or whatever they call him over there against Russia. Hit his head, a Russian forward hit him, and he's out now. Hasn't played in at least a week, and a guy who has had some, he had a cut in training camp right at the end of training camp on his thigh, and that took a while to heal. Looks like he's having an injury-riddled season. And as you know, at that time for the 18, 19-year-old kids, to lose any kind of playing time can impact them. So it's not a positive indicator anyway. A bad arrow for Oscar Klefbom. We'll follow that. The Oklahoma City Barons keep rolling along. They are an amazing story. You know, the Oilers call up two defensemen. They still won last night. Tyler Pitlick scored. Phil Cornet scored as well. Two Barons, the Tobert and Chorney, were called up, and that just meant more time for Plante and Lowry and Helmer, and they ended up winning the game. They play again tonight as well, the Oklahoma City Barons, so we'll keep you updated on that too. I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, I'm going to put this story up on Oilers Nation tomorrow, but at the end of the first quarter and second quarter and third quarter, I'll be doing report cards for the Edmonton Oilers and how well they've done. And there's one A-plus in the group through the first 20 games, and that's Ryan Smith. I think that those of us who were Ryan Smith fans when he played here, and that's pretty much everybody, thought he'd come back and play well and be a big part of the team. I don't think there's anybody who really felt he could play this well. Leading the team in points, playing against the tough opponents. The coach, for crying out loud, has put his two of his best young players with Smith tonight in the lineup shuffle. Wherever he goes, goals seem to follow. And it's been a magical 18 games for Ryan Smith in his return to the Edmonton Oilers. So he's the A+, and for me, he's the MVP of the first quarter of the season. I have three A's: Nikolai Habibulin, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Jordan Eberle. In the case of Habibulin, I know that he's fallen back to earth the last three or four games, but what a start to the season. I mean, that I don't remember the last time the Oilers had that kind of goaltending over a prolonged period, and it had to be 10 or 11 games that he played lights out at the beginning of the year. So he gets an A. Nugent Hopkins has been a revelation. Jonathan Willis mentioned that he's probably the favorite for the Rookie of the Year award for the Calder Trophy right now, and one of the reasons they're putting him up with Smith and Eberle tonight is he does seem to be able to have some two-way ability. So that's going to be interesting. But Nugent Hopkins, I think, deserves an A. And Jordan Eberle, just for his fine overall play, he's a guy who, although not the first overall pick like Hall and Nugent Hopkins, really has a big brain for the game, and it's very obvious. And I think he eventually will be a player who they can use on the penalty kill and the power play and at even strength and as a real leader. I think he's future captain material, and he's played very well. Not perfect, but very well, and he's a fine young player. My B's are Taylor Hall, Sean Horkoff, Corey Potter, Ryan Jones, Tom Gilbert, and Alex Hemsky. Hall, because just a little bit behind the other two. I think he's been fighting it a little bit and a little bit frustrated about how the year has gone so far. He did miss a game during the first 18. Fine talent. I think we're going to see him break out any time, and maybe tonight's the night. But for the first quarter, right now anyway, he's a B. Sean Horkoff had a really good start. The first 11, 12 games played well. Tailed off a little bit. The minuses are adding up, and he has not been as offensive lately. I think that's maybe another reason for the shuffle. Corey Potter had a great first few games. I'd say the first 12 to 15 games were good. He has been exposed a little bit in his decision-making the last few games, and now he's injured a little bit, so that's why he's a B as opposed to a higher mark. Ryan Jones is a player that I've been critical of in the past, but I thought he's had a brilliant first 18 games of the year. He's played on two different lines and been an energy player on both of them and has taken advantage of the opportunities he's had offensively. Had a good start to the season. Little doubt about that. Tom Gilbert's had a rough few games, but I still count him as a B just because of his overall ability and the fact that he's been the stone alone a lot of nights and played very well, and the Oilers are still above 500. They're a good team this year overall in the first 18 games, and I think Gilbert has been their best defenseman. Alex Hemsky, he gets a B because, you know what, he's uber talented guy, but he's been injured a lot, and ordinarily I'd have him an A plus if he's playing at his best, but he's just been a little bit off, certainly the last few games since coming back from the injury. My C's are Eric Bélanger, Devin Dubnyk, and Laddie Smead. Bélanger because of the face-offs, his ability on the penalty kill. His offense has not really come to the fore yet, although his 5x460 is a good number. I think he can do a little more offensively at even strength. Dubnyk has played well. He's been off a last little while, but early on he played exceptionally well, and I think there's a goaltender there. I'm a little disappointed that Coach Rennie seems to have gone to Dubnyk so much lately, or I'm sorry, Habibulin so much lately, but Dubnyk is a player who will get his opportunity. opportunity. We know this because, you know, Happy Bullen, 38 years old, coaching staff starting to ride him a little bit. Either a slump or an injury are somewhat predictable for Happy Bullen, so Dubnyk's time will come this year. My C's, those were the C pluses I just mentioned. My C's are Petrell, Gagne, Sutton, and Petrie. Petrell, because he's a great penalty killer. I think he gets more than a passing grade because of that. His Rel Corsi is the lowest on the team, so he's bleeding a bit 5x5. That's likely one of the reasons why he's a healthy scratch today. Sam Gagne, I have him there because a lot of the first 11 games that he played, you know, he hasn't been himself. He's been injured, coming along slowly. The last few games before this last back problem, he was playing much better, and hopefully he'll be good enough tonight to ignite something on that new line. Andy Sutton, big, tall, calm guy. I'd give him a higher mark, but his foot speed is a problem, and he gets passed a lot by the wingers, but he's a player who's come in and helped, no doubt. Jeff Petrie has been exposed. You know, he's a young player, but he's also played very well, and I think he's here to stay. With these injuries that have happened to Potter and others, I don't think there's much chance that Petrie gets sent down at all this year, and it looks like he's ready to establish himself. My D's are Anton Lander, Ben Eager, and Linus Omark. Lander started off very well, but I think that he's a player. He's in the lineup tonight, but I think he's a player that has probably, you know, lost himself a little bit in the last few games, and it's been tough. There's no doubt about it. But I think that Lander is a guy who's a candidate to be sent out to Oklahoma City, and that might have already happened without the Linus Omark injury. Ben Eager has been a disappointment, and the caveat is that the concussion probably has impacted his ability to play the style that he's most familiar with. But he's been a bit of a disappointment. There's no doubt on that fourth line. Doesn't really supply the energy. He does go to the net, but not all the time. And, you know, I think he's more skilled than he's shown. So we'll call it a disappointment, but we do also understand that there's a reason behind it, because in the last, I would say, little while, you know, the concussion definitely impacted him. We also have, as a D, Linus Omark. He played 5 games before being sent down. I don't think he really got a chance, somewhat like Pajarvi, but he's a guy that the Edmonton Oilers should really have a look at. He's skilled enough to play on the top 9. Not ranked are Plant, Tubert, Hordachuk, Ryan Whitney, and Taylor Chorney, because they didn't play enough, but those are my report cards, and I'll have them up on Oilers Nation sometime in the next 24 hours, probably early tomorrow. We got a very busy show. We've got Leafs talk and Oilers talk still to come. Jesse Rogers from ESPN Chicago is just around the corner, and we'll also talk to JP Nakoda from Pension Plan Puppets and Leafs Nation, and that'll happen before 2 o'clock. This is Nation Radio, presented by Edmonton Motors.